And so in the morning,
we started with the ABC of faith, and we talked about agree after the question and answer, right? This afternoon, I want to begin to talk about believe. So, like I said, even after this conference, in the month of April, we are all going to be talking about faith, because I know that spiritual things actually, apart from the compressed emphasis that helps for spiritual stamina, sometimes it has to be spread out for a while because you mature as you are learning. Has ever happened to you before where it was when you were in SS2, you understood what they taught in SS1? Has that ever happened before? And you were just in class and you were like, oh my God. That's when the light bulb lit in your head. Like I usually say in a funny way, do you know how long it took for me to understand that W is actually W? Like you put in two places, U, double U. I remember where I was when it dawned on me. Oh, so that is W. I knew how long it took for me to understand that minus times minus is plus. So some people don't still get it. Hey. So as you progress and these teachings are repeated, it will make more sense. Are you with me? So A was for agree, B was for believe, and C is for confess. Now, somebody may want to say, what is the difference between agree and believe? If you agree, it means you have believed. Many times, it's not the same. You can agree to something, but you have not really believed it. Are you getting me? I'm looking for an example that I will say that will not be too sensitive. You may have agreed to something, but your heart has not really captured it. So what really makes believing different from agreeing is that you can agree with your mind. For instance, when the Bible says, let me use this example. It may sound sensitive, but let me use it. When the Bible says that young people stay away from sexual immorality, you can agree, I have to stay away. But deep down, do you really believe? Some people don't really believe that a person can actually stay. Are you getting me? So they agree that, okay, it's true, it's the right thing to do. But deep down, their heart has not fully embraced it. Have you ever said things like, I know that's what the Bible teaches, but something must kill a man. They tell you that, see, I agree with the Bible, but when it comes down to it, it's not possible for you not to be holding on to something, or something not to be holding you. So, what makes agreements different from believing is that when you have believed something, you are not just agreeing or accepting it because everybody has said it, but because you personally, in your heart of hearts, in your closet, when they sit you down, you say, this thing, I believe it. Are you getting this? For instance, there are many churchgoers who they go to church, but deep down, they don't really believe Jesus is God. Do you know what I'm trying to say? They don't believe that Jesus is God. They're like, I can agree that he's the Son of God, he's the second person in the Trinity, but is Jesus really God? Deep down, they question it. Okay, I agree. He said, I am my father are one. I can agree. I am my father are one. But really, in their closet, do they believe that Jesus is God? So when a person has believed, it means his heart has accepted it. Are you getting me? It means his heart has embraced it. To believe means your heart has accepted a thing with complete conviction. Can you say after me, complete conviction? And many times it looks like it is simple to believe. But can I tell you something? People still struggle with believing. Remember the man, like we talked about in the morning, who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9 from verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see that there? I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Are you getting me? Some people need to cry out like that. Oh God, help them my unbelief. But before then, Jesus gave a solid promise. All things are possible to him that believes. Can you see all things are possible to him that believes? Can you accept that all things are possible to him that believes? In the morning, we are talking about agree with God. So let's assume we have dealt with the pact of the will of God and God has settled it. But you, will you believe? Are you getting me? As far as Jesus is concerned, the limitation at some point may no longer be God. It's not about my power. It's about, do you believe? Let me tell you something. If you will ever walk in the miraculous, if you will ever see the miracles of God in your life, you must accept this thing. If you will flow in the supernatural. Have you ever seen that part of the Bible that says, and Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, did great wonders among the people? That should be Acts chapter 6, from verse 7 or 8. You can be full of the anointing. You need believing to activate it. Did you hear what I just said? You can pray in tongues, and when you still see the sick, it looks like it is too much for you. Are you getting me? And staying full of faith and power, did great wonders. There is an element of faith required to activate the power of God. The power of God can be there, but if there is no faith, if there is no believing, there will be a problem. Are you following this? Believing is a very serious factor in God's economy. Now look at Hebrews 4 from verse 2, verse 6 and verse 11. So Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Jump to verse 6. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of... And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of... Unbelief. Now, everybody read verse 11 together. Hebrews 4 verse 11, 1 to 3, go. Enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. One of the ways we know you believe is by the way you act. Your acting proves your believing. The reason why you sat on this chair was because you believed that the chair will carry you. Are you getting me? The way you act. See what David said about believing. Psalms 27 from verse 13. He said, I had fainted. Psalm 27 verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means it is only those that believe that will see. If you are waiting to see to believe, you are not yet a believer. Are you getting me? You know, Thomas said, unless I see him and put my hands in him, I will not believe. And Jesus said, blessed are those. When Jesus came and heard him, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not yet seen, but yet believe. Those are the real believers. They've not yet seen, but they believe. Because God is the one that made the promise, I believe. Are you getting me? He said, except I put my hand in his hands, I will not believe. Now, David is saying, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Let me tell you something. Your believing is your escape route.
unless I had believed. Can you just dare to believe? Your believing is your escape route. See, have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That's a very strong verse. The Bible did not say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. That's not what he said, though. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The way you believe will affect your thinking. Are you getting this? And the crux, all of this is an introduction. The crux of what I want to teach today is how to believe. That's what I want to teach. How to believe. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's as though only those who believe his report will see his arm. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? One more verse on this intro. Look at Romans 4 verse 18. Romans 4 verse 18. The Bible says, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Very clear. He believed that he might become. Who against hope? When there was no reason to have hope, he believed in hope. Are you getting this? That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So when there was no reason to believe, Abraham believed that he might become. So quickly, why do people struggle with believing God? Why do they struggle with believing God? Doubt. And now if I say doubt, your mind just goes to all the religious teachings you've heard about doubt. What is doubt? And what causes doubt? Doubts are the contrary evidences that makes you question what you should have believed. For instance, I use the example of a chair, right? If you came to this hall and they gave you plastic chairs to sit down, and one of the chairs had two legs, will you sit down on it? Will you sit down? What if they now told you that this chair is a special kind of chair that once you sit down, the other legs will come out? Some people will still not sit down. They're like, no. No. And that person sit down first. So as long as you are seeing a contrary evidence to what you should believe, you will be in doubt. You will be in doubt. If somebody sends you money, they say, I've been debited. They say, no, wait, let me receive the alert first. The money may have actually entered your account. But because there is a contrary evidence to what you are expecting, you cannot just believe. So the way to deal with doubt is to look for evidence that counsels your doubt. There was a time when we first opened the church corporate GT account. And that period, I think one thing led to the other. I had access to one of the top people in GT Bank as at then. And so our account had a challenge. The church accounting people were saying, we are not seeing the money. Any money we are giving, all the offerings, we are not seeing it. I became worried though. Where our money enter? So for days, almost weeks, there was nothing. You check, the person is receiving text message, you check, there is no money. So I now went and met this woman. I said, see, there's problem. our money did disappear. We no get money. Do you know what she did? She said, we're having a system issue, but let me show you something. She opened her system and opened what she called the inner core database. And we saw all the money there. Ah! So by the time I came back and they said, the money's on entry, don't worry. The money's there. Say, Pastor, there is no... I said, the money is there. You know why? I have seen something that they have not seen. Are you getting me? The way to cancel doubt is to see into the invisible. You need to get an evidence that may not be obvious to the natural man. That's how to cancel doubt. Number two, to cancel doubt, you have to be more aware of God's reality than the aware of your own reality. Because let me tell you something. I can still see what that lady showed me. Come back and wait for another 2 days and say, ha, these guys are not getting their alert. Are you sure we have this money? I can start questioning everything I saw, even though I've gotten a deeper evidence. Are you with me? So you must be more conscious of what God is saying and the evidence you have received. Are you following me? Than what your reality or what your situation is saying. Because the natural realm is not like the spirit realm. In the natural realm, when things are settled, your doubt may not be able to cancel them. Are you getting it? Your doubt may not be, whether I believe or I don't believe, my doubt cannot cancel the money that was in that account. But in the spirit realm, your heart is a creating factor. If you start doubting, it can affect something. Are you with me? In the spirit realm, believing is a process whereby you are carrying a baby as it were the baby is developing. If you cut short your believing process, you have to give birth, you have to start raising a new seed. Are you getting this? It's not like the natural realm, because in the natural realm, you don't need to have hope already for something that has already been manifested. In the spirit realm, you are believing. It's a process. You are literally guarding your heart, guarding that process jealously. Anything that disturbs that incubation process in your heart will distort the miracle. This is important. Are you getting this? People are too aware of everything that contradicts God's word. And God's promises and the resultant effect is doubt. A good example of this is Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 31. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 31. Read it with me. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. let me stop here. I want to say something about this. You know, you are the one that who was asking me about so in the morning about doing something that's not the will of God, or if it's not God, don't try to, if it's weak faith to try to force something like that. Let me tell you something. Maybe I'm mixing the questions up. I know somebody also asked me, can you do more than what God has planned for you to do? I'm thinking I'm mixing the questions up. Let me tell you something. You cannot do more than what God has planned for you to do. Instead, you should be praying that God opens your eye to see all that He has planned for you to do. If you know what God has planned for you to do, you will never even dream of doing more than it, because what God has planned for you is already big. See, do you realize that Jesus did not listen to Peter say, "Come on, water," and say, "Peter, wait, when that one start?" So wait, I'm walking on water. You two want to come and walk. So we are now mates, Abby. I see. You don't have respect. That's not what Jesus said. He said, "Come." That means Jesus likes audacity. He likes audacity. He likes it when you say, "I can do it in the name of Jesus." As long as it's not in pride, as long as it's not in selfish ambition, as long as you're not trying to shame somebody else, as long as you're not trying to prove a point, but for His glory and for the advancement of His work, step on the water. Hi. You are here thinking, you know, the Bible says, "Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all I can ask or think." That means your biggest imagination is still the smallest thing in God's sight. Whatever you are thinking about, that, this thing is too big, God is like, "Okay, is that all? Is that all you can do? Is that your best? Is that your best?" You know, Jesus walking on water and Peter walking on water is such a humbling testimony, but people ignore it. Think about it. That means that Israel may not have needed to divide the Red Sea. As at when they were dividing the Red Sea, God knew they could walk on water. But can their faith carry it? God knew they could walk on water, but can their faith carry it? Every single time they divided the Red Sea, divide. God will say, "Okay, we thank God for this miracle. But there is still yet a higher place. You can actually walk on the water." Can you say after me? Jesus believes in audacity. For some of you, God is telling you, you are taking less than what you've been given. But sometimes your mind, it's difficult to even process it inside. How shall these things be? How shall these things be? How shall these things be? It's possible. Can you say it's possible?
It's possible.
And do you know what God does? To train you for bigger things, He begins to train you on baby steps of faith. For instance, our building in Port Harcourt Church, Children Church, is our step of faith. For our building in all the other churches. If I tell you what God asked us to do. So initially, we had planned that it would be just a bungalow. Like, no story building and all. So I was praying. And the Lord said, "Have I not been teaching you how to stretch?" I said, God. I said, once God starts talking like that, I know that He wants to do something. I say, "Hey, God, I beg, God, I beg." He said, "Have I not been teaching you how to stretch?" I said, I was praying. And I was in Port Harcourt at the moment. So I said, God, I know. Don't go there. He said, "Go and tell the engineers we are changing this thing to one story building." I say, "Hey!" So, wait now before you shout glory. So I went. They already dug foundation. They started putting the blocks. By chance, the architect, the engineer on site, our project manager, they were all on ground. My mother was around. My mother just came and said, "People are wasting this space, so why not all make it one story building at once?" The architect said, "It was even in my mind, safe. That, so this thing will just waste like this. We can actually take advantage of this space." I didn't say anything. I was just saying to everybody. So I said, "You know what? Everybody was waiting for my decision. I said, you know what? We are doing one story building. Do you know what that cost? We had to remove all the blocks that had been put before. We had to do a fresh structural drawing. The drawing alone was 200,000. When they began to tell me the implications, from there, government officials started coming. Issues back to back issues. From when this government official, we had to meet the commissioner of works and urban planning. On top, I said, God, I would have just stayed with this one. Battles. It was so bad. I was like, this building. I didn't even know when I said, this small building. Then I felt lost. You have said it's a small building now. So whatever is coming is small. By the time they were done putting new blocks, they said, see, Pastor, we cannot use 6 inches blocks for the foundation of a one-story building. You have to change everything to 9 inches blocks. I say, Jesus. The budget multiplied almost times 3. I went back to God. I said, God, now you send me. Oh, my leg they shake. Now you send me. Then the Lord now reminded me that if you don't confront this type of thing, how will you now confront our 10,000 seater? How will you confront it? Say, confront it. Are you with me? Say after me, I believe God. I believe God. Jesus told him, come, walk on the water. Come. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, if it is Jesus that told you to step out of the boat, you will walk on water. Yes. You know that thing they said, God said it, I believe it, that settled it. Bishop Idahosa, Archbishop. God said it, I believe it, that settles. You remember what we were talking about yesterday? Has God said? If it is God that has said, forget about it. It is a done deal. And the devil will want to question you. Has God said you should not eat any of the trees of the garden? Has God said? What if it did not really mean I should come? What if... Are you getting this? You now begin to question. No. Has God said? Any man that can take God at his word and hold on to it is a dangerous man. Is a dangerous man. Has God said you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover? Yes. I will not stop playing. Are you getting me? I will not stop playing out. I will stand on the word of God. Now, verse 30, he says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. This scripture is a very deep scripture. You don't actually begin to sink. You actually just sink. That means it was as though his experience was reflecting what was in his heart. He was beginning to sink because his faith was beginning to sink. How can you begin to sink? You're just supposed to go down deeply. That means at any point where his faith could jack up again, he would have come up again. Are you following me? You know, you need to learn this thing. There will be some days in your life where the devil wants to show you all things that are not working, and you just be like, ah. You see that thing that's happening to you? You have to fight it immediately. You have to fight it, because if you begin to stay there, to you, you are expressing how things are. I'm just being honest. I'm just honest bunch. I'm just being... Your honesty may be costing your future. I'm just being honest. Things are not working. Things are not working. Will I say it's working where it's not working? Things are not working. See, my life is just... And Peter, looking at the waves boisterous, began to sink. What do you do when it's looking like your faith is shaking? Go back and look at Jesus. Go back and look at the evidence. So you have to learn how to stand up and say, I believe the word of God. Then you begin to remember all the things he has told you. That's why he told you them in the first place. So he said, cast not away your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. You have to go back and hold. What did God say? What did God say? I'm a fruitful vine. What did God say? My children shall be like the stars of the heavens. Are you with me? You feel the pain in your body. I am drawn to the Lord. By his stripes I'm healed. I am the temple of the Most High God. I am a member of his flesh and of his bones. Even though I feel pain in my body, God is healing my body. The power of God flows through me. Are you with me? I will lend unto nations and will not borrow. Your account will be showing -3 in error. But you'll be telling yourself, I will lend unto nations and will not borrow. Are you with me? Sometimes you have to close your eyes and remove everything that's distracting you and begin to imagine what God has said. Begin to transform the word of God into pictures. Pastor, but pastor, you don't understand. That's the problem. You understand too much. See, doubt comes as a result of knowledge. Has it happened to you before where you did not want to buy something? But somebody came and started telling you about this thing. Started explaining this thing more to you. That see the material. It is this and so and so and so. When you put it like this, it will happen like this. After you are like, I bought it. I bought the right thing. In fact, how much is it? You will pay. What is happening? Why did you suddenly change your mind? You got faith. What they were telling you changed your decision about what you wanted to buy. And you bought. There is a way somebody else can come and say, see this thing you want to buy? This thing I will just wash like this. This thing, why would you buy it? It's true. In fact, I'm not buying it again. Okay, you know they buy it. I know they buy it again. You know what's happening? Doubt came. Knowledge. Are you getting this? That same thing you are looking at and saying, I'm finished. Somebody else can say, this is our opportunity. It's our opportunity. Are you getting this? You want to believe God? You have to keep your eyes on what God has said. And choose. See, you have to declare it and keep your eyes on it until you feel different. Until your heart begins to. For instance, I cannot forget. I want to say this here. Maybe it's because of the men of God around that God is moving me to say this one. I cannot forget. I was with a man of God years ago. I was in his office, a bishop. And he told me something. Something I will never forget. He said, Kenneth Copeland taught us and said, when you need resources, you put pressure on the word, not on the people. The word will never break under pressure. The people may get tired, but God cannot get tired. The word will not break. Instead, the word will empower the people to deliver. I was like, what is this man saying? He said, if you want money, you just announce. I said, no, put pressure on the word first. Before you go and announce, put pressure on the word. Put pressure. Start saying things like, God has given me billionaires. God has given me the prosperous people. And thank God I accepted what he said. He said, the church will never have resources more than the faith of the lead pastor. It is not the billionaires in the church, it is the faith of the pastor. Hey! The thing entered me. He said, it's the faith of the pastor. The faith of the pastor. Some of you have noticed, every service, we thank the Lord because he's raising financial giants in our midst. He's raising financial giants in our midst. I thought you would say amen. Now I want to ask you, what are you looking at? You want to believe? Surround yourself with what God is saying. So step number one, to believe God. Receive the word of God and surround yourself with only what God has said. Only what the word of God is saying. Remember when we talked about, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So like I was saying, have you ever heard somebody preach before, and you just stood up and said, there is nothing impossible? Has that happened to you before? You see, that state, have you ever seen that verse of the Bible says, building yourself on your most holy faith? That state when you began to feel like that, start praying in tongues, and begin to imagine what is possible. You are building yourself on the response of your spirit to that word you heard. Are you getting me? Say that me, it's possible. Now, I want to challenge some of you. You will buy that property this year. We are moving to our land this year. Ah, Pastor, how shall these things be? It's done. So, you want to look at the challenges, Pastor. How will it? It's done. Praise the Lord. Many times, what God will do when your faith is alive, you will now discover it's not about money, it's about faith. I remember our first LED screen. We so believed God that we had to use wood and banner and carved it out and put there. The way that LED screen came, till forever, I know it's the hand of God. Some of you remember the story now. The OGs. I went for my honeymoon after my wedding. And a man that produces LED screens had an accident and was on the wheelchair. Had a dream. Saw me stretching my hand to him like this, praying for him. I went and prayed for him. And I was going, I think I was supposed to go 3 times every week. After the third time, this man stood up from the wheelchair. Came to church. Gave his testimony. Called me one day and said, this church needs a LED screen. I said, sir, we need it, sir. Sir. We need it. He said, okay. I will not charge you the way I charge other people. Just bring money for materials. I'm going to remove 7 million naira out of the budget. What we should have spent 10 million, we spent 3 million. And the 3 million, we didn't even pay at once. So we gave 1 point something first. Before they knew, it was standing. See, after me, I believe God. Amen. I'm going to show you two other scenarios of the competition between faith and doubt. Now, another way to deal with doubt is to erase all contrary evidence. We've talked about that, Abby, a little bit. And one of the ways you erase contrary evidence is by what you are saying. By what you are saying. This evening, we'll go deeper into confession, but let me get into it right now. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. So now, with all I've just said, let me also drop this here. Keep your hearts from the wrong information. The Bible says, keep the heart with all diligence. Saying this Abuja is very tough to make it to. That's the problem. That's the problem. You have been listening to that kind of thing too much. This Abuja, the place just big like this to find clients, Hey, no, they are there for you. How will I get customers? This God, this place. Will anybody even buy this thing? No, they will patronize me. Those of you in real estate, they will patronize me. I thought you are talking, they will patronize me. My name is announced in the places that matter. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to stir up an aura of faith. The Bible says the angel came at a certain city to stir the river. Anyone that jumped in, there is a way you can charge an atmosphere with faith fire. And there's a way you can charge an atmosphere with depression fire. You know, a person was lamenting about his life at that place close to Third Mainland Bridge that people used to jump to do suicide. Me, suicide. It's like way sweet like this. Like. No suicide. Nothing. None of you. None of you. Even if you wanted to do so, I said, I jump like this, you just see my hand, I'll catch you back. You say, Pastor David, you may not see me physically. You jump again, I'll catch you back. Where are you going to? This life. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hey, Makalio Palakatai. A lady was lamenting there. A guy came and met her. Why are you lamenting? By the time she told him how bad it is, two of them jumped. It's called the aura of despair. He did not know that as he was listening to her, he was embracing her atmosphere. He was embracing the defeated atmosphere. He was embracing the finished atmosphere. Say, I'm just finished. There's only one finish that you are expected to have, where your wife or your husband have finished you. In a good way. So when a man is married, they say a finished man. That's the only one. Apart from that, nothing can finish me. Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. Oh, he's the author and finisher. Nothing can finish me. Before you get to the end to finish me, Jesus is already there waiting for me. So where could have been my finish would be a new beginning. You know, I told you something that, God forbid, if anything close that new breed, you just see, I've started again. You just see me on the road evangelizing. It's not possible. Are you with me? That new breed will close that. It's not possible. Not possible. Even if I come for service and it's only half human being. We will have Bible study. Bible study go hot, That one person will go and tell 50 others. They will come. We'll start again. But you see, for me to fail is not possible. It's not possible. The path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. It can only get better. It can only get better. It can only get better. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Do you know what it means when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? You will never be able to face anything that is bigger than what is in you. You will never be able to face something that is stronger than what is in you. Are you guys what I'm saying? I'm giving you faith fire. Ah! Let's look at this thing. Praise God. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, who again so believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Are you seeing this now? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You are looking at your account too much. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, not according to the money in my account. We are going to get that property. Let me tell you something. See, is it that God is not going to put money in that account? He will do it. But you cannot judge your future by your present. Are you with me? Look at Jesus. They told him the 5,000 and the children and everybody. Look at the crowd everywhere. How are we going to feed them? He said, bring the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes that you have. Just bring it. And he began to use it. And he did not finish. People think that the thing just multiplied. No. As he was putting it out, it did not finish. That's how to multiply. I will keep on using what God has provided and it will multiply. Father, I thank you for what I have and I will start with it. Amen. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So when you Your unbelief into the promise of God is called spiritual staggering. You are staggering. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. You see, it takes a while. But when you get to the point where you are fully persuaded, believing is complete. That what he has promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, let me give you two scenarios of how people responded. Remember when the angel came and met Zechariah and said, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Are you seeing the contradistinction? Abraham did not consider the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. But Zechariah said, "I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in age." Are you seeing this? And he stayed on it. That's it. Listen, we are old. And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these things." If an angel comes to you and is telling you, you say, "Try accept now." He said, "No, I know you are Gabriel. I know you stand in the presence of God." That's how deep his unbelief was. Are you seeing this? Imagine you, an angel comes and tells you, "The Lord has said." Like physically, an angel comes physically to tell you. Then you say, "Ha, I know say you come from heaven, but see, what are they?" See, what are they? Then you say, "Ah, like my appearance is not convincing you." You say, "See, I see you are an angel, but." Then you said, "Okay, this guy, his unbelief is too much. Your mouth, dump." Now, this is why I said I'm going to confession. If you have unbelief in your heart, as long as you don't voice it out, it cannot stop the miracle. The more you voice out your unbelief, the more it becomes your reality. Even though you are scared in your heart, declare what you want. Are you with me? Because eventually, what you are hearing consistently will reshape what is in your heart. I know I said in the beginning that if you have it in your heart, you will confess with your mouth. So what do you now do where your heart is completely opposed to what God is saying? Oh, yeah, keep saying it. A time will come. Your saying will change your believing. Are you getting me? So the angel said, "Keep quiet." Because the way you are going with this, your mouth, you will spoil this thing. It says in verse 20, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that this thing shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Now, that same angel came to Mary. And verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So she asked the same question, How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel began to explain to her, because the angel explained to Gabriel, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, at least. But the guy who did not agree. But now, Mary asked the same question, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? The angel started explaining, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Everybody read verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." So they explained to Zechariah. He said, "Sir, I know you stand in the presence of the Lord, but I just told you I'm an old man." They explained to Mary. Mary said, "With all this explanation you are giving me, be it unto me according to thy word." Can you say after me, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word." And the angel departed from her, because it has happened that she accepted it. And obviously, we are going to see something else, that maybe that was why Mary was the way she was. Because her cousin Elizabeth was also a woman of faith. Now, look at verse 43. So, she went to the house of Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1. 43 may be too far. Let's start from verse 39. Everybody read with me verse 39. 1, 2, 3, go. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, everybody read verse 45. Now, see Mary's response in verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Read it again. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Are you seeing that there was a faith fellowship going on there? So Elizabeth is saying, Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance. Mary is responding, All generations shall call me blessed. What kind of atmosphere were they cooking in that place? It was an atmosphere of possibility. Obviously, Zechariah was not here. And even if he was there, he cannot talk. He can't talk. All the nations are coming blessed in his mind. Who call you? Who call you? All the nations are coming blessed. My soul doth magnify the Lord. So when you hear the word of the Lord, when they tell you this is who God has said you are, see, if you like, close your mouth. If you like, be allowing the doubt quench you. I've said it before Jesus Christ comes, we will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. Amen. I said, even if he's coming tomorrow evening. Even if he's coming tomorrow evening. We will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. Amen. Can you say after me? All generations shall call me blessed. All generations shall call me blessed. All generations call me blessed. It is possible. There is a performance because I believe. There shall be a performance. Glory. Are you getting this? This is how to believe God. It must translate into the way you talk. Remove, first of all, receive the word of God. Remove all contradictory evidence and begin to talk it. Final example, Exodus chapter 13. I like this one. I like this one. See this one? I like it. What happened was that Moses sent 12 spies into the land that flows with milk and honey. And when they checked out the land, they came to bring the report back to Moses. And some Bible scholars said Moses made a mistake. He shouldn't have asked the 12 spies to speak to the congregation. He should have talked to them first. Because these 12 spies, 10 of them came and they told him in verse 27, And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought fruits from it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. You see what is happening? They are telling you all the reasons why it will not work. You want to go into a business, say, you. Julius Berger has not gone in. It's you that want to go in. They will tell you how one big company entered that business and failed. They will tell you about all the giants there. But well, you are of the tribe of the son of Judah, the son of David. We slay giants. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were telling them all the people that will make it difficult for them to enter. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Sites, all the Shites. You know, right from time there have been these Shites of it. I speak in parables. Canaanites, Amorites. Shites, Hittites, praise the Lord. I'm playing, no. For one of you can report me. Before you come, I've disappeared. I'm like the wind now. Praise the Lord. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Are you seeing this? There was a man of faith, but the other guy said, we are not able. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Hey! And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Now everybody read verse 33. Read it again. I wish you had seen what I'm seeing. Read it for the last time. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It means that what you see about yourself is what the challenge will see about you. Oh, did you even get what I just said? What you see about yourself is what the challenge will see about you. He says, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It's good to be humble, but not in the name of humility. Destroy what God is building in your life. Are you getting me? Numbers chapter 14. So go to the next chapter. Everybody see Numbers 14 verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, and said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore the Lord has brought us unto this land to fall by this sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said, well, so now let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. These people, you know, see, lack of faith can make you foolish. You were in bondage for 400 years. You got delivered. And because, you know, it happens to us too. And because of what you are facing, you now believe that it is better to go back there. Some people are like that. Because of the challenge they are facing right now, they not think that the challenge they were facing before was better. You should always remember, the God that saved you from Egypt will give you the promised land. The God that saved me from Egypt will give me the promised land. I thought you would say that. The God that saved me from Egypt has given me the promised land. The God that saved me from Egypt will give me the promised land. If he was faithful yesterday, he will be faithful today. God expects that the miracles of the past is your testimony for the future. What he has done in the past is enough proof. My God. The way I've seen God show up for me, I can never be stranded. I thought you would say that. I can never be stranded. Think about that time when you were in a tight corner and supernaturally, you thought you would not get married, but you got married. You are here now. That means you will still... Are you with me? You thought you would not get that job. You got that job. That means you will get married. Are you following me? The faith of the past is testimony for the future. But you see, their faith was taken away. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, which were of them that said, the land rent their clothes, and spake unto the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land of floweth with milk and honey. Now everybody see verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people, for they are bread for us. That's where we got it from. It's bread for us. I said, the 20 acres of land is bread for us. The 200 acres of land is what? Oh, you are not responding. I said, it's bread for us. He said, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's how faith talks. Now, while this was going on, everybody see verse 10. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. Everybody see verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be there for them to believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. That means God was not expecting them to murmur at all. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And God just showed up and said, what's wrong with you people? That means every single time you look at the challenge and you are like, God, my life. God is somewhere like, what is wrong with you? God wants you to be boasting. That's what God was expecting them to do. You know, some people, they think that God likes when they come in and say, Lord, we are worms. We can do nothing. Oh, we can do nothing without you. Of course, you can do nothing without him. But Lord, we are just a finished being. We are just... I'm just a confused girl trying to find my light. And God is like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And God showed up and said, how long will it be? How long? God likes you to talk with some gusto. It's bread for us. It will be done. It will be done. There is nothing impossible for us. Are you with me? Before we leave this hall, we will max out this hall. 2 services, 3 services. Hey, I know someone is you will be here. Now you go, we go. You will put your aside. You will be in the overflow. We will give you TV to the watch. You that does not want to say amen. I said we'll be doing two, three services before we leave this place. That's how faith talks. So people looking at you like, this guy, safe. No, that's how God wants you to be talking. All the fathers of faith we respect, look at the way they were talking. When they were beginning, Bishop Edipo said they were using grass to the scene of their church, and they wrote living word outreach. Word. You reach the world from the grass. That's how faith talks. Are you getting me? Then you have to stop calling yourself Single Pringle. Singles Association of Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm saying? You start talking to yourself like this. I'm a fruitful vine. I and my husband, we are doing well. Shortly, I and my wife, we are doing well. Say, are you single? Say, I'm single and God is bringing my partner. That's how to talk. Not the one you say, I'm a chronic single. Jesus. I'm a chronic single. Somebody told me I'm single to stupor. That one, even if the partner is coming, that confession has driven him miles away or driven her miles away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I round off, Numbers 14 verse 20. Numbers 14 verse 20. Now what was happening? God was so angry, he wanted to destroy all of them. He wanted to destroy all those guys. And Moses began to plead. In verse 19, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people according to the greatness of thy mercy. As thou hast forgiven us from Egypt even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Are you with me? Because those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Are you seeing what is going on here? Look at, God is literally canceling the people that refuse to believe him. You see, this faith thing, it's a serious thing. Never you think you are being an honest person simply by appreciating or being realistic, embracing all the challenges you are facing. You are provoking God to anger. That's what he's showing you here. He said, but all those men which have seen my glory, God believes that if you have seen a testimony in the past, you have no right to complain about the future. Are you getting me? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and had followed me fully. Now him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Are you seeing this? And his seed, that means God wants you to be like Caleb. Now say, no, he is prepared for us. Hey. God wants you to be like Caleb and Joshua. You know, I remember the first time I read this thing, the way it hits me. The way it was as if they poured me cold water. Because before then, I felt like God does not really want us. Of course, God does not want us proud, but God wants us to boast in him. God never wants you to look at a situation and say, we are finished. Never. And in fact, with what we have seen from the Bible, God is not just, let me put it like this. You're choosing not to believe God is not just canceling yourself on a miracle. You're making God angry. When you choose to gloat over your challenges, you are not just canceling yourself from the miracle, you are provoking the heart of God. The Holy Ghost is grieved. God likes people who will say, if it is you, bid me to come. Look at David. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiled the armies of God? See, as a man of God, when a landlord comes and embarrasses you, your problem is not with the landlord though. What is this uncircumcised issue that is coming to challenge us? We believe God. Jump on your feet. Say to me, I believe God. You will learn to talk like this, but my God shall supply. My God shall supply. I believe the word of God. This is not my end. It's a new beginning. I will not stop halfway. I will finish my course. I will not stop halfway. I will finish my course. My body is healed. My family members are healed. In the name of Jesus, all that God has said about me shall be done. I am joined unto the Lord. One spirit with him. I am joined unto the Lord. One spirit with him. Therefore, sickness cannot stay in my body. Sickness cannot stay in my body. The life of God is in me. It's in my bones. It's in my flesh. It's in my ligaments. Every part of my body. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I walk in divine health in the name of Jesus. The life of God is in me. I am born of God. Therefore, I overcome. I overcome this city. I overcome this nation. I overcome this continent. I overcome the world.